Greetings. This is James Gillen with the BBS Network on As You Wish Talk Radio, and a lot going on out there. You know, I'm getting flooded with emails with people saying, what is happening? You know, they seem to be processing all kinds of feelings, emotions, sadness, you know, crazy stuff going on there. And I have a theory about that, but we can get into that later. I want to talk tonight about, and this may tie into it too, I'm sure, but talk a little bit about the what's happening with the fires. A lot of the lasers people are being seen over these fires. Just, you know, the whole enchilada. We want to cover all this tonight and latest technology coming out, robotics, everything. And I can't think of a better guest. We've got Nano Girl, otherwise Sharon Barrington, and she goes by the handle of Nano Girl, and she's a strategic citizen journalist with an eye for future trends and technological innovation. And she was the child of a military officer. She lived most of her life traveling up and down the coast of California, which included Long Beach, San Diego, San Jose, Los Gatos, my hometown. I was just right over the hill from that one. Sonoma, Half Moon Bay, and she's familiar with many areas affected by the California fires. Her professional career includes 10 years in the medical industry, 25 plus years in the high-tech industry. Her favorite jobs in high-tech are research and development for innovative companies on their product development teams. She loves helping to bring new and innovative products to market while resolving difficult cross-organizational issues as project manager. She's been a lifelong seeker of truth and loves robotics, AI, time travel, medical advancements, and space travel. She spends most of her spare time studying and exploring the mysteries of the seen and unseen world. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, and I really appreciate you asking me to come on. So this is an amazing time.
Oh, yeah, it's getting insane. You know, I like to cover a lot of the breakthroughs in technology and things like that. And we just had, I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but we just had a landing of a massive ship on Mount Adams. It's on the YouTube, ESETI Stargate channel. But, you know, this thing is just massive, and the lights are so bright, and it's you know, 13 miles away. Easily 13, 14 miles away, but crazy stuff is going on. But I really want to get into these fires first, and maybe you can shed some light on that, not to make a pun, but the fires. I mean, I've been observing, you know, Dane Wigington stuff, you know, about chemtrails. I used to bring in William Thomas and Clifford Carnicom back in the early 90s when nobody was even talking about this. And it just seems this is just getting insane. And I watched how this drought has been engineered. It's unbelievable. You can actually see it, you know, with the radar pictures and things like that. And obviously, you know, you add heavy metals, you know, to the mix and spray them on forests, you know, you're going to have a real mess. But the it seems like there's a new contingent out there, and they're seeing these beams coming out of the sky and hitting these areas where these fires are starting. And I'd love to know, have you looked into this at all?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I have to say that it was creepy, shocking, sad. It was kind of on the level of 9/11 because at the end of the day, I keep coming back to who I think is doing it, and I think it's our own government. Or mm-hmm. and attached to Agenda 21 and or maybe some property that's supposed to go to another country. Governor Brown came out and said, welcome to the new normal. And what most people don't finish that quote, he also said, because of climate. Very interesting last words there. I don't consider this new or normal. I would have loved to have said, Governor Brown, this is not normal for me. But you're absolutely right, especially since Thanksgiving. What happened was they've been extra, you know, I watch the skies every day, because I one of my pet peeves is chemtrails. I know what it's doing to us. I'm so angry. I don't even know how to stop it. But since Thanksgiving, it's been extra warm. And as I said, I live in the Bay Area. And I thought, oh, boy, here we go. And whenever they chemtrail us and you're seeing the crisscrosses and there's three, four, five planes up there, and it's just like this soup, I always think to myself, uh-oh, you know, because it's proven that they've got some kind of plan in mind. I think what they're doing is the drought. They're keeping it extra warm. Rain isn't able to get in. There was a guy was talking about this on the radar. He showed the radar where they're actually preventing the water from coming in to Southern California. That would actually help the firefighters fight those fires. But I wanted to kind of go over a comparison. So what I did, you know, as a researcher, I love statistics, right? It's like, okay, well, if that's that, what happened over there? And interrupt me anytime. I don't mean to just be long-winded here. So, okay. So anyway, so I was looking at the comparisons, like what happened here, up here, and what happened down south. And what was really interesting is that the fires up in Northern California, so they were the first ones to happen, they happened within about a couple of hours of each other. What happened was the winds, these really amazing winds came up, and one of the guys was talking about his sister was trying to drive home, and they were scared to death, and they were in a truck. The winds were so hot. The fire started at like 9:20, 9:30, and 10:45. Each of them were about 20,000 acres, and it burned through the night. And what people kept saying is, I didn't even know it was there. I didn't know it was coming because they couldn't see it. The next day, what you're seeing is the streets are fine. The trees are fine. Across the street might be fine, and the houses are gone. They're dust. They're just dust. And the first thing I thought when I first saw this, and this was in the Northern California fires, is 9/11 and the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
And the aftermath. And I thought, oh, my God, this cannot be normal. And then people were showing their smartphones, and they were capturing those lasers, you know. And there's a bunch of them. There's not one. There's many. I think some of the colors were blue, some of the colors were white. The spookiest YouTube I saw was one of the firefighters was called in to go to one of these fires, and it's 10 minutes of silence except for him to say, this looks like a war zone hit it. It was just so creepy. And you just have this feeling of darkness around these fires, this ominous feeling. You know, we're all connected, so we can all feel things, whether we're, you know, 2 miles away or 100 miles away or 300 miles away. We all have discernment, and we can all tell when something's really out of whack. And so that, and then the cars, you know, looking at the cars burnt to a crisp, it's just creepy.
Well, I mean, they had metal rims that were melted, and, you know, that's not normal.
No.
I can't remember what the temperature is that it takes to melt, you know, these metal rims, but it's off the scale, and you can't generate that by just burning the rubber, you know.
I think it's 2,000.
I think it's 2,200. Yeah, 2,200 or something like that.
Exactly, and they well, it looks like somebody nuked it. Essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, metal was melted. You're going, how does that happen? And they had cars that were like burned in half. Half of it was in the garage and it was okay, and the other half was fried. The part that was, you know, halfway out. And you just go, how did that happen?
It was just too orchestrated. So the Tubb Fire 9:45, the Atlas 9:20, and Redwood Fire was 10:30. It was too much precision for this. The wind was up to 75 miles per hour through Sonoma. I mean, out of nowhere?
Yeah, that's like almost hurricane winds.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So then I decided, okay, the biggest fire right now, and just to give everyone an update, the Thomas Fire is still burning. And that was the one that originally started down south. I believe it was December 4th. Again, mm-hmm. it started with the wind, all this wind. I think they called it Santa Ana. And then they've got another name for what's going on down there right now. They're trying to prevent. So let me step back for a second. I actually at one point thought I was going to go to live in Santa Barbara and Carpinteria, which is kind of in the middle. Like if you leave, it's about 6 hours from the Bay Area south and about 2 hours to an hour and a half, depending how fast you drive, to L.A. Santa Barbara is gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's serene. Carpinteria is very cute. It's a cute place. These are all on the ocean. Montecito, and that's where Oprah and all the movie stars live. So a lot of the movie stars live in Santa Barbara, kind of up in the mountains. You can't see anybody. Like if you're facing the mountains and you're standing on the beach in Santa Barbara, so you're facing the mountains, it's very understated and it's gorgeous. And like I said, a lot of the stars live in Santa Barbara because it's out of the LA area. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're doing evacuations. I know Oprah, Ellen DeGeneres, some of those folks, their houses may be in jeopardy. They have 8,300 firefighters right now. Jeez. And they're worried that it's only 45% contained today. They're worried that the winds are going to carry it down to the ocean. They had, let's see, how many fires? Let's see, Skirball, the Creek Fire, Bel Air, Lilac, Rye, and Toro Canyon. Most of them are contained. And mm-hmm. so right now they're focusing on the Thomas. Can you imagine 8,500 firefighters?
Yeah.
That's well, amazing.
I think it's interesting that you brought up Ellen DeGeneres and the others there. It's just like, you know, I kind of think about this, you know, a lot of them have been the spokesmen or spokeswomen, you might say, for the New World Order, you know, and playing that game. And I wonder what they're going to say when their houses burn down. Are they going to say, hey, wait a second, you know, I was on the good list. You know, how did this happen? You know, I also, you get into all this crazy satanic worship and pedophile stuff and everything down there. It's so insane, you know. It's a mecca for that, you know, that whole Santa Barbara area and some of the other areas. So it's I think Raytheon's there too, and the people that actually built those lasers are in that area. You look at this and you go, what's up? It's almost like they're nuking their own.
I think they are. I think you nailed it. In fact, my theory about Weinstein and the rest of the crowd that has been thrown under the bus is mm-hmm. I believe that the next technology, I don't think they need some of them anymore, and I think Hollywood is totally going to change. I think Hollywood yeah. is going to morph into the holodeck in your house. Have you seen the commercial for Oculus Rift?
That's no,
the virtual reality goggles and everything.
Oh, I've seen the goggles, but I haven't seen that particular
The commercial is amazing. So this young man is in his living room, and he puts on in his goggles, and his living room wall opens up. And in comes the robots and all of this holodeck stuff, right? All this, you know, virtual reality yeah. games. And then the other thing that happens is he connects with the Star Trek folks, right? It looks like Star Trek and Captain's Bridge. The other half of the commercial, it has very cute, cool music, and it looks like it's lots of fun, is the girl puts it on, and she absolutely ejects herself right into the universe. It's
wow.
It's amazing. But that being said, my theory on this, because the only thing has ever made sense why they threw somebody as big as that guy under the bus is because they're taking us. They want to take us to the next level of entertainment and mind control and a way to get us away from the things that we really want to do and become. And if we're living in these tiny houses, once they do sustainable living, then we'll be cramped into this sort of VR reality. And that's where I think they're taking us. So what's going to happen is the movie stars and all of the bigwigs, I think we'll see such changes in the next couple of years. So that's why I think this is happening.
Yeah, I noticed that. I noticed a lot of the, you know, it's interesting. We had Robbie Williams come up to the ranch, and he had his crew there. And, you know, I said, oh, you bring in the band with you? And he goes, no, we do everything electronically pretty much. And so I was kind of like, oh, really? And then they showed me how they just lay down the tracks and do all the stuff. And I was looking at his sound engineer and things like that. And I actually played this big Native American drum on my flute. And I think they used it in one of his things. I'm not sure. But it was kind of interesting watching that. And then I go, wow. And now I'm looking this the next level. And this is old news, basically, is they're doing, you know, everything's digital now and everything's animated, and they're doing such a good job on it. Like you're saying, they don't even need the actors anymore, or the sets or anything else. They can just create everything on the computer, and it's just going to go to the next step where you're in the movie, and then pretty soon people are just going to be zombies. They're not going to produce anything. They're just going to be in their house with their goggles on, you know, and that's about it.
I think pretty soon we're not going to need goggles. I've been watching YouTubes by Quinn Michaels. I consider him one of those web bot things, you know, people, like they show up and kind of give us some interesting information. They are developing software that you're not going to need to wear the goggles. So what I think is going to happen is you'll rent the software. It will go to the artificial intelligence computer. They'll keep track of it. They'll charge us. Of course, it won't be free. There'll be no privacy, so whatever you do in that, they'll say they own it like Facebook does, and I think that's where we're headed. So it's interesting, and I don't know if you've also noticed other commercials, and they often are depression drug commercials, where half of the entities or whatever you want to say, they're animated. They're like this one with the kitty cats where the kitty cat is sleepy and awake and she's having trouble sleeping, so she takes this drug, I can't remember the name of it. But the cat is asleep and then the cat is awake, and that was animation. I'm really fascinated by the commercials. I'm not sure people are picking up on this. But so they're already rolling us forward to this sort of augmented reality, and our lives are animated. And my concern is we're not going to be able to realize when we're there, you know, what's there, you know, or we will, like you said, we will escape. We'll be living in one of our little cardboard boxes, and that's how we'll escape. And we won't need the goggles if that's what they're doing. It'll be just like the holodeck.
I agree. Yeah, it's. I've noticed, you know, people that if your life is just totally boring, you know, you're not going anywhere, you know, you just put the goggles on, and then pretty soon people get addicted to it, and then they won't have a life at all anymore. It'll all be AI, you know, which is spooky. I wanted to mention one more thing before we get off the fires, but there was a guy put a video out, and the info on the location in Northern California in the state records. And he matched them up with the location of the fires. And this is the Agenda 21 program. And it was almost street for street. The places that were destroyed there fit right into the plans of the Agenda 21, you know, the new cubicle housing for us. So that was even spookier, you know, seeing that. That's not an accident.
No, you nailed it. I mean, that's exactly correct. In fact, there's a very interesting YouTube with Deborah Travers with Jeff Rintz from 2015, and she talks about this, that this is their plan to have directed weapons, that they'll get us out of our homes. They had attacked Sebastopol because Sebastopol was trying to fight the meters, right? And so it's interesting. I forgot that she had come out, and, you know, when I heard her YouTube, I'm thinking, oh, my God, yeah, I remember this. What I'm finding interesting, James, is that we've heard a lot of this, or we've seen a lot of this. I've watched a lot of sci-fi, and I read a lot of sci-fi.
Yeah.
But I don't have any context at the time. Like, I can't imagine, you know, it's like you'll get an announcement or you'll see something in a movie. Oh, my God, that's their next plan. That's where they want to take us. But I can't imagine it. And now that they're doing these fires, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the thing that makes sense is this Agenda 21. I mean, the other thing I wanted to bring up on Southern California fires, and I thought this was interesting, is this lady called Mia. Her name is Mia's Pair of New Glasses. But she said, so she's down there. So she said, the creepiest thing, she said, usually I'm reporting on it because of, you know, I'm outside of it, she said, but I'm in the middle of it. But her comment was, even though there's a lot of people here that are asleep, she said, I really think they know something's wrong. Something's really wrong.
Uh-huh.
So
I know the fire marshals are saying that too. They're starting to talk about it, and they're saying they've never seen this before. They said it's like you're saying, you know, all the trees are fine, the houses are destroyed, the vehicles are destroyed, and the metal, the rims have melted off the vehicles. They said this makes no sense, you know, other than some kind of a directed energy weapon.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And the last time I have to say the last hugely impactful vision like that or event to me was 9/11, you know. Mm-hmm. And how many times did I watch that video of those buildings collapsing like that?
Yeah.
And the scary part is how many people, since they did it at night and it was bedtime, people might have been asleep, how many people really died? I mean, I think that they actually had the military there or the guard, you know, the California National Guard, and wouldn't let people in back to their houses for a couple of weeks. Was that because people died and they were doing RFID tracking or tracking with their implants and their bodies and trying to find them and get them out? Again, that's like 9/11. So how many people really died in all of this? I don't know.
Yeah. Now, what's your point? I have a theory. I'd like to hear your theory on 9/11. What was the cause of those buildings coming down?
I still think it was kind of a Tesla-directed weapon, energy weapon. And I also think that Joseph P. Farrell has a really interesting theory that there were actually three players going on. There was the George Bush contingency. There was the drills. And there was this off space, you know, that the space the guys that are not that like the deep state where it's trying to get to, and that the
secret space.
Thank guys. You, secret space. Thank you. And so the secret space people actually showed up and hijacked some of the event of the day, but I still think it was directed weapons. I don't know if there were the jury's still out for me whether planes went in the building or not, because I keep thinking if a plane crashed in those buildings, wouldn't the, you know, wings have fallen off, or could it just go into that building so easily and effortlessly? And then the other thing is, what did they do with the people that were supposedly on those planes?
Yeah, I like it. I like the terrorist, how his, you know, he was on the plane incinerated, right? And he gets incinerated, but his wallet goes through the whole building, comes out the other side, and is found in perfect condition to identify the terrorists. You know,
I recently heard that whole little impromptu with George Bush W when he said, "Yeah, I hear you," that was actually planned. And I feel like, why am I so stupid that I didn't know that? Of course it was planned. That was planned.
Well,
that was probably the only brilliant thing he did the entire time he was president. And I never, I think it took me about 2 to 3 months to figure out who did it. Mm-hmm. And when I did, I went into a huge shock. It was very shocking for me to realize who probably did it. And
yeah, I knew. I had a feeling right away. I knew. I go, well, there went our rights. You know, as soon as that happened, I go, they're going to roll out the legislation, and there goes our rights. And welcome to the, you know, George Orwell, whatever. You know, it's you know, what's was it 1942?
1984. Well, at this point, Agenda 21, Agenda 30, 1984.
Yeah. The, no, there's number. Fahrenheit 451, yeah, and yeah. Then 1984, and then there's a couple others out there, but they all seem to be rolling out. I think those are warnings, but the I'm thinking of the World War II or something was in 42 or 45 or 7. I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. This whole last 100 years has been very interesting. I think it's been very orchestrated. And people have made some really interesting comments to me about, even my son was saying the other day, why are we in 2017 and we're still killing each other?
Yeah.
Why are we so backwards? Because why can't we get past this? And I thought, I've always said that. I've always said that. There's no reason for war. And I think the normal people, the regular people that have kids and grandkids and jobs, we don't want war. I've traveled a lot. I never met anybody that wants war. They want to take care of their kids, take care of their grandkids, have a life, have food, have a house and a, you know, roof over their head, be able to pay their bills. We're pretty much the same worldwide. One of the good things I think about all of this immigration and people coming into the country and into the state and is the fact that we are getting to meet people from every walk of life in every different country. It's been painful in some ways because we are very tribal, but on the other hand, yeah. It's been very enlightening.
Yeah, I think it's a little of both. The, you know, one thing I do, and, you know, I don't even know if this is a program, but you don't know what's real or what's not anymore, but I've watched a lot of the women's movement, and when they're pushing Sharia law and all wearing burqas and things like that, I just went, "Are you serious?" You know, and I don't think they did the research on that one. And you know, I just, you know, some it just really gets to me how some of the countries, you know, like Muslim countries, not, I mean, I don't want to put all Muslims into that category, but just the lack of total lack of respect for women and, you know, how they treat them and things like that. And I've known some people, you know, from those countries, and I was shocked, you know, like I've known women that have dated them and they came back with war stories and you know, it is sad, you know, it's sad. I think some cultures just clash, you know, and you should let them work it out over there, you know, maybe not come over here and try to convert our culture.
I would agree. I mean, I don't want any part of that. But again, one of the best things about this election, in fact, probably my favorite thing, it was a very painful election. It was very painful because it fractured friends and fractured families, you know, but I think it was such a wake-up call to, I think we were going down a road at business as usual. And I think if Hillary Clinton or even Bernie Sanders had won, it would have been business as usual. They had their agendas, and they were just going to go get them. And when this election happened, and everyone erupted, and they're still erupting, and screaming and yelling and moaning and all this stuff. And for the rest of us that were sort of caught in that circle because we didn't even know we were in it in a way, mm-hmm. It was such a brilliant wake-up call, and it was so freeing for me. It was like, oh, my God, we had been under this politically correct umbrella where you couldn't mm-hmm. maneuver, and now I feel like I'm out of that. It was like, thank you. And
I agree. And every time Trump tweets something out, you know, it's funny because he's the guy, people think the guy's an idiot. They say things like that, but he's actually brilliant, you know, and he has an amazing IQ, and those close to him know it. And he just baits these guys and brings them in. But I can't wait for his next tweet because they're just hilarious. He just like blurts it out and says it like it is. And then you find out it's true. You know, the stuff that he talks about or tweets about, you find out, you know, everybody gets their whatever knickers in a tweet or whatever you want to call it. They all flip out on it and they all start screaming, yelling. And then all of a sudden the evidence comes out and then whatever he was tweeting about was true. And he'll tweet some of the conspiracy things and stuff like that. But and then the Kennedy thing, and then they drop the evidence out. And I can't remember, supposedly they did bring the evidence out, the real reports and all the files on that, but they redacted them so bad there was nothing in there. But somebody told me that they actually did release the unredacted files. I don't know if you've seen those.
I haven't seen those. I thought they were going to withhold them. I don't know. I know Dark Journalist is doing a lot of videos on all of that, and I think he even did an HBO special if people wanted to look into a lot more of the information on that. But, you know, I'm old enough to know where I was when that happened.
Yeah.
And when I woke up when someone, I was like 21 or 22, and someone handed me the book, Rush to Judgment by Mark Lane. And big focus on how did all of those witnesses die within, 5 years of each other? Like plate glass windows and car accidents, or 2 years. I think it was like 2 years. And the magic bullet and just the insanity of all of it. And then at that point, I could never look at the planet the same again. It was that my journey started a very long time ago. So
my dad react to that. And I was just a little kid at the time. My dad, it really upset him, you know, and very, my dad's always just really happy. He was like a living Buddha, had a great father. And he was always happy, you know, very sensitive, very concerned, you know, and boy, I knew something was really wrong. I didn't know what it was. I thought, you know, somebody in the family died or something. And he was just, you know, really quiet, really inward. And then I saw it on the news and everything. And then I saw LBJ's picture on there. And I told my dad, he's a bad man. You know, I said, I don't like him. He's a bad man. You know, and it turns out he was behind it all, you know, him and the Bushes and a few others. But, you know, it's like, you know, kids know, you know, they sense things, they pick up energies and things like that. You know, I knew right away, you know, even as a kid, that was all, that was a setup, you know, you know, I could even sense who did it.
No, I think I remember teachers crying, and I liked him. I think I was in junior high school, and I used to listen to his speeches. And I mean, think about that. Somebody who's like 14 or whatever, listening to the president's speeches because I thought he was funny and I thought he handled the press so well. And he was so articulate. And it was a joy to listen to him. And I think that's the last president we've had that I felt that way about. I do listen to President Trump's speeches now and again. I thought it was interesting, the one he did last week, where he commented that it was important people believe that they can make the changes, that the changes aren't going to happen unless they believe, they have to believe. And I don't know if someone, it was a 45-minute speech, and he threw that in there, and I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. Spoken like a true CEO versus a president, right? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I say I get so much hate mail, you know, when I tell people, I said, you know, I know certain things and I have certain contacts with people and I know, you know, what's happening behind the scenes. And, you know, his job is to drain the swamp, you know, and it's to end the, you know, get rid of the feds and bring things back to the treasury and reestablish the republic. That's basically his job, and the military is behind him to make sure that happens. And there's going to be a whole different economy, a whole different currency. Everything is going to change, and it's going to be good. you know, there are some things I don't agree about, you know, that he's doing. I think we didn't really need that pipeline. We should have just dropped that and bring out the other technology, bring out the fuelless energy technology and things like that. And the oil thing too, we don't need to be drilling the oil, you know, in these other, you know, Antarctica or anything. But I'm not sure if we're, where was it, the Arctic that he's opening up? I think it's the Arctic.
I think so. Yeah, could be. Yeah.
Drilling, and I've been in Mexico, so I've had very limited access to certain things. Even our power went out for quite a while. But it's interesting though. But you know, it's just like some of those things. Like, come on, let's stop the oil program. You know, let's get back. You know, bring out the technology, because I work with people that have, you know, some guys were the lead scientists at Area 51 and things like that. And they said, we have living engines, anti-gravity, not just anti-gravity, counter-gravity, and engines that are alive and things like that. Like, let's roll this stuff out. And, you know, it's insane that we're still operating in these, you know, internal combustion engines when we don't need to be burning fuel at all, and we don't even need a battery, basically. It's you know, we have that technology. And I'm not just saying, I saw it on the internet. I held this in my hand. You know, I held a device bigger than a small pie plate that had 9 coils, and then each coil put out 25,000 watts. And it was ice cold when it ran. And if you let it spin too fast, it would just blow a hole through the ceiling, you know, and take off. But, you know, I know these devices are real. They exist. We do have that technology. And we could shut down all of these coal plants, the nuclear plants. And, you know, one thing that one of the guys I know that has this technology, he went and he bought a coal plant. And he went in there and he shut it down. And he got a big Rolls-Royce engine, like a jet engine, and hooked it up to the dynamos, and he runs it on water. And he said, okay, here's your dinosaur model that you can see that we don't need the nukes anymore. We don't need the coal. You know, you can use this technology. It's running on water. And it's up and running right now. You know, I'll get you a link to that, and you can look at into it yourself. But, you know,
great.
That's just one thing, you know, but I mean, that's the dinosaur stuff. We could be running everything on water very easily, but, you know, it's, you know, when you get it into the plasma generators and things like that, you know, it's like, you don't even need water. It's like, it's just need air basically and electronics. But, I'm probably getting into things I shouldn't be talking about right now, but, you know, luckily I have some people that are very into, you know, the alternative energy, and it all ties into the field, you know, in the secret space fleet and ufology and things like that. That's where the real technology is.
I would agree with you. And I like I said, I feel like we've been encapsulated in this box, and we've been holding steady for like at least 100-120 years. We still have the same engines in our car. We're dealing with antiquated medical industry, banking, you name it, everything. I believe in natural healing. I try to avoid the doctors. I mean, I've been doing that for a very long time, and I heal myself. And I truly believe we create our own illnesses for the most part. And that's the biggest lesson I learned working in the medical industry, was once I left that, it was like, if I was going to do medical of any kind or health, I was going to help people get in on the front end where you know, make sure your health is good and you're eating good and sleeping good and drinking good food and drinking good water. But your mental health was good too, because that I watched people come in. I worked in admissions, and all day long you hear people come in and tell their story. For the most part, if somebody could have grabbed them a year before, 3 years before, and said, hey, look, you just need to work on this and heal this, and all this other medical stuff is going to heal, you know, and the planet has everything we need. We don't need all this pharmaceutical stuff and, you know, all that stuff that's going on. And we're amazing creatures. We're very powerful. That's what we came here to learn to be, is powerful, and make these changes and be a part of the change and be a part of this paradigm shift. And I think we forget sometimes.
Yeah, I think the, you know, this one guy I work with, he's got like 9 PhDs and he's a biophysicist, and he can actually create a human from scratch if he wanted to, from the bacteria on up. But, you know, that's what he says. He said, food should be your medicine, you know, and he said, you really need to get all the minerals, you know, get everything right in your food, and food will be your medicine. And he also said stress, eliminate the stress, you know, and you know, pure water, and he actually crystallized oxygen and he actually stabilized it at room temperature. But, you know, which is amazing. He puts it in the water and it's in a microhydrant and it's suspended in the microhydrant. And it's a crystal. And when you drink it, if you put oximeter or oximeter on your finger, whatever, however you say that, you can drink the water and watch it just peg, go all the way up. You know, it's just amazing. And oxygen is the highest systemic antibiotic you can get. You know, increase your blood oxygen, and most of your cancers are anaerobic too as well. So, you know, this technology is just amazing. And, you know, he's got different qualities. He's got the, almost like the pharmaceutical grade, I call it, you know, the high octane stuff. And he's got the regular oxygen water. But I've seen, especially with animals that don't have, you know, preconceived ideas or anything else, I've seen animals where their hips are out. And they're having, you know, they're peeing all over the place, having these serious problems, and their parent and, you know, the owners or whatever are saying, you know, we've got to put them down. I said, well, just get a bottle of that water and put it in their dish. And they did. And within 2 days, their problems are gone. And it works so fast on animals. But, you know, humans, like you're saying, they're locked in to their diseases. You know, it's like they're locked into talking about them and worrying about them. And the animals are just subjective to whatever's going on. They respond very quickly.
Probably like the kids, right? The kids are the same thing. Yeah. They don't know, you know, what that's supposed to do or not supposed to do. I have my Louise Hay book, and that's the one where if you've got a problem, you go to page, you know, 264 and look it up, and there's an affirmation for it, and so you can change your thinking. And that is like my Bible. If there's something going on with me, I look it up, there's the affirmation, it's like, okay, let's work on this. And for the most part, that works all the time. So it's just consciously grabbing your thinking and walking your talk and walking your walk. And believe me, I'm no angel on all this stuff, but Miss Chocolate-aholic over here. But, you know, it's taking responsibility and it's waking up. And, you know, I know it's hard. And I stopped getting mad at people who are sleeping. I mean, you get very frustrated about that. But on the other hand, it can be very frightening to look at all this stuff and feel like, I got to be awake. I got to start participating in the change. But that initial wake up and the initial sort of reality check, it is very scary for a lot of people, and I know that it's hard.
I agree. You know, once you take the red pill and go down that rabbit hole, it just gets uglier and uglier, and it'll consume you if you allow it. And then you just got to, you know, I think we do really need to gain the wisdom, you know, that what is happening around us, what is going on. But if we can't observe it with loving detachment, it's going to just take us down, you know, down that hole, that downward spiral. And I've seen that with so many people, and they end up with cancer and everything else because they become so negative by focusing on the negative. But I have mixed emotions about that. I don't think we can live in denial. We do have to observe what's happening around us and the effects of what's happening around us. But I think we can override it as well, you know, through consciousness and doing other steps that are helpful.
Well, didn't you say you went to Mexico and you didn't have any electronics? Something like that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, it's funny here because we've got Mercury in retrograde, and, you know, we had the solar flares going on. And then, as you're saying before, the fires and everything else, that's affecting the collective consciousness. And I think all of that together is really hammering on people. And I was talking to people down here about what was going on that I knew that would create a lot of these mood shifts and things to help explain why they're in a funk. And I said, just go to Soho. You know, whenever you see a major, you know, flares hitting the earth, you know, people are going to go through change. You know, they, Stanford Research did some work with monkeys, and they exhibited behavior from comatose to self-mutilation when they, you know, changed the magnetic fields. But you know, we don't have to behave like monkeys. When we know it's happening, we can go, oh yeah, it's a solar flare today. Okay, now I know why I'm feeling this way, and you can override it.
I would absolutely agree with you. I think for me, the toughest part of being awake is feeling like there's something happening that's good, because unfortunately the press is mostly all negative. And well, in fact, it is all negative. And it's knowing in your heart somewhere, on a good day, that things are happening for a reason, and somebody else has this in their hands, not me. It's not my job. It's my job to wake up and walk the walk and do the best I can. Processing some of this stuff, like doing it before a show, can be a little stressful, and then I just have to walk away and let it go. But I agree with you. But again, it's that balance of when the fires were going on, when things were happening, when you're being engulfed in it. And I think there was something you said in one of your shows that we have to walk through it as it is. Something along those lines, like in other words, it's a physical manifestation of things going on, and if it was in our neighborhood, we would have to walk through it, and that's so true. And being prepared, but I know for myself that the greatest changes that happened for me are around the darkest times have been surprises. I don't know if that makes sense. In other words, I didn't know that door would open. I didn't know that would, like the election, I didn't know that kind of disruption would actually free me. It was freeing. So sometimes something that looks so painful and so huge and so hard and causes fractures, if we choose to walk through it, on the other end, something amazing happens, even though we could never have predicted that in the beginning.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, people get really upset with me when I talk about, you know, I try not to even talk about politics, but when I see the big picture and just how dark things were, and as you were saying, where they were going, it would have just been a continuation of that downward spiral, you know, with Hillary and
Hillary and friends.
Yeah, and so, you know, and I tell people, you have no idea. You know, I'm fully aware of what she's all about. I take one look at her and read her, you know, and know what she's about. But, and it's sad that other people can't do that. And I tell them, I just said, she's not for women's rights. You know, she's sold out, you know, to the 145 trillion on the uranium, you know, million on the uranium. You just go on and on this whole thing, a long list of dead bodies and everything else. And I go, God, Trump's an angel compared to that. But, you know, he's not perfect. He's got his issues and things. But you can just see how nasty this whole thing is, this whole power struggle and the bribes and the pedophile stuff, everything else. You can go, you know, that's obvious. That's a no-brainer. That's going on. But I think the pedophile arrests are going to be the one thing that's going to take down the deep state. It's so rampant throughout all that, and that's all going to come out. But when you just see how where this is going, and why would you want to maintain that status quo? Why would you want to continue on that direction? But I do see people that, you know, obviously have not taken the red pill. They wait for CNN to tell them what's going on. They believe everything, you know, that they hear on there, even though there's no evidence whatsoever to back it up. It's just a meme, you know, created by, you know, by other groups, you know, opposing groups there. This whole thing, it's really sad watching some of it, when you know what you know, but I look at it and I go, well, you know what, that they're going to have a lesson. That's what they need right now. They need to go down that path, and wherever that's going to take them, that's what they've created. So more power to them. And you know, all I can do is give people tools, you know, and techniques to heal and awaken themselves and move in that direction. And whether they use them or take them or awaken, you know, that's their job.
I agree. And the one thing I do believe, and I'm not saying I'm a Trump supporter or I'm not, but I do think this about him. I love his wife. I think she's a beautiful first lady. I love her. But the second thing is, I don't think we could have had anybody else but him be president. We needed someone to disrupt everything. And he is the best disruptor I have ever seen.
I agree.
From his tweeting to his Diet Coke drinking, whatever else he does and makes everybody insane, you know? God love him, you know? And I, what a horrible job that must be for him. I don't know how he makes it day to day.
God, I don't know either. I mean, the only thing I can figure out, he's probably having fun with some of it. You know, he's a master chess player, you might say, because I watch him, how he baits these guys and they fall for it every time. And he pulls them in and then just drops the hammer on them. And I just go, my God, you think they'd figure it out. But almost all his distractors and the ones that want him impeached and everything else, they're either gone or on their way out, you know. So you would think you might want to just kind of shut up and try another program, because obviously, you know, he's been embarrassing a lot of them. You know, it's like this big multidimensional chess game going on, and I've been watching it, you know, from a lot of different perspectives and seeing, and I think what you're saying is exactly right. He is there just to shake things up, to expose everything. And, you know, he's not a politician. He doesn't care. He just lets it out, you know, tweets it out and lets the cards fall wherever they fall.
Exactly. And I think I've thought the exact same thing that you said, that there's been a few of them that have fallen. That didn't think that they would. He set them up brilliantly.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, when I see the setup coming, I can see the setup and I go, oh my God, they're playing right into it, you know? But anyway, we've only got just a couple minutes left. Is there anything else you wanted to cover before we sign off, unfortunately? Or?
You know what? I wanted to quote Dane Wigington. I listened to some of his stuff, and this is what he said today. We want to put a hole in the dam to help create the shift.
Yeah.
And I loved it. You don't have to blow down the whole dam. He said you just have to put a hole in it, because the New World Order, once that happens, they won't be able to fix it. And that kind of puts it in a much better perspective. We don't have to do the whole enchilada. We just sort of need to knock the plate over.
Yeah. I always like that saying, you know, one on the side of God is the majority. And I look at that more in higher consciousness and energy. You know, one holding the truth, you know, is going to outweigh a lot of the lies and deceptions. But unfortunately, on this planet, you know, the lie, you know, travels around the world twice before the truth has time to tie its shoes. But truth does win, you know, in the end run, the truth ends up, you know, coming out no matter what. And I just see this thing as a whole frequency game right now. It's the higher frequencies are coming in, the lower frequencies are going out, and everything that's not frequency specific to the evolutionary process going on is going to take the downward spiral and implode on itself.
Well, you know, the way I see it is we're sparklers and we're lit, and you can put a bag over us, but we'll just set the bag on fire.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I wish I had a 2-hour show. There's a lot more other things I'd like to cover, but we'll have to do it again soon and talk a little bit more about some of the robotics things you've been working on. And I've always had a fascination with that. And maybe shed some light on some of these new programs we're seeing, like, you know, the chemtrails, the geoengineering, the lasers, and everything going on right now. It's getting pretty insane, but I'm really hoping that, you know, when we drain the swamp, that this is going to come to an end.
I couldn't agree more. I would love to come on your show again. Thank you so much for being such a gracious host. I really appreciate it.
All right. So what's the best way for people get in contact with you?
I am on Facebook, and I'm Jared Barrington over there. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm kind of a little bit obscure because I still work over here, but I am on Facebook. So.
Okay. All right. So they could. And now, are you under Nano Girl in Facebook?
No, I'm under Sharon Barrington.
Okay. All right. So if anybody wants to get in contact with you.
Yeah, just use my real name.
Well, keep up the great work and keep giving us the inside story. I know there's a lot more that's going to be coming out. And thanks for coming on the show, and thanks for doing the work you're doing.
Okay. Thank you. And the same to you. And have a really blessed Christmas.
All right. You too.
Thanks.
All right, we're out of time, folks. Unfortunately, this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Watch the skies, stay in the heart, and just remember, you know, everything you see on TV may not be real. It might be the opposite, because we are living in a world of opposites. Anyway, good night.